Revolving Maseches Brachos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hei. There are a number of different topics discussed in this Mishnah, so we'll take them one piece at a time. The first part of the Mishnah continues on with what we've been discussing in the previous Mishnahs, the rules that govern a Baal Keri, someone who had a seminal emission. And here, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, one is exempt, according to the Mishnah, from saying Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, words of sanctity, and specifically rabbinically required ones. One's exempt altogether if he's a Baal Keri, according to the Mishnah. And therefore the Mishnah picks up asking, what happens if a person forgot he was a Baal Keri and he began Shmona Esrei, which, if he hadn't begun it, he'd be exempt from saying, again, according to the Mishnah, not Lalacha. The Mishnah says, Hayomer betfila, if a person were standing in the middle of Shmona Esrei, Venizkar Shu Baal Keri, and then he remembers that he is a Baal Keri, Lo Yafsik, he shouldn't stop in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, Eli Yikatzer, rather he should just abbreviate his recitation of the Shmona Esrei. That means to say, he would just say the beginning phrase and the end phrase of each and every bracha. So, for example, he would say, Atachon l'adam da'as, and then finish, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonin l'da'as, etc., for each of the 18 brachas. The next part of the mission is something totally unrelated. We now talk about the rules of ones of sanctity outside of Baal Keri, but there are certain the pasuk requires that a person's machaneh should be kadosh, that a person's place of encampment should be sanctified. The pesukim in Devarim Chav Gimel speak about two different kinds of sanctity. First, the pesukim specify that one has to have a special designated place outside of the machaneh where he will relieve himself when he has to defecate, and the pasuk ends by saying v'haya machaneh kadosh, your encampment should be sanctified, meaning there should be no human excrement there. It should be covered up and elsewhere. But the pasuk continues on, v'lo yireh v'cha ervas davar. And you also shouldn't see amongst yourselves a ervas davar, an unseemly thing, which is specifically referring to human nakedness, parts of one's body that should be normally covered. So therefore, the pasuk really requires one's machaneh to be kadosh, one's encampment, one's place to be sanctified in two regards. First of all, that there should be no excrement there, and also that there should be no naked body parts in one's view. Midrabbanan, they extended both of those issues. They extended the prohibition against having excrement in one's presence to also include urine. That urine also can't be there midrabbanan. And similarly, they said that when one says davar shebe kedusha, he has to have that not only is he not in the presence of a naked person, but also that his lave, the part of his body, the upper part of his body where his heart is, should not be roeh as erva shelo. It shouldn't have a direct line of sight to his genitals. There should be a break between the two. Meaning, for example, if you're wearing a nightgown, and even though he's covered, and his genitals are covered, but since there's a direct line of sight between where his heart is, his chest, his upper body, and his lower body, where his private parts are, that would be insufficient. He'd have to sort of gird himself with a belt or similar, have an elastic band, etc. Midrabbanan. With that principle in mind, the mission now talks about the issue of one who has gone to the mikvah to alleviate himself from the status of being a Baal Keri. So he once again could say Devarim of Torah, and he sees that the time of Kriya Shema is about to approach, meaning that the sun is about to rise. The Mishnah says, Yarad Litbo, if he goes to descend to the Tovel, I'm sorry about the background noise, I'm in an airport. If Yarad Litbo, if he goes to immerse himself in a mikvah, and then he sees the time is short. If he's able to get up out of the mikvah and cover himself up properly, likros, and to recite the Kriya Shema, all in time prior to the rising of the sun, then that's exactly what he should do. He should get out of the mikvah, cover himself properly, and then recite the Shema all before sunrise. V'im lav, if there isn't enough time, meaning if he would take the time to get out of the mikvah, cover himself up properly, then he would miss sunrise. Then he can cover himself up with the water itself and recite the Kriya Shema while in the water. That is to say, first of all, that the Mishnah assumes that it's better to say Kriya Shema in such a situation, in such a way, before Netzachama, before the sunrise, rather than saying it in a after sunrise, even in a more, you know, formal and decorous setting. And that's the way the bartender explains it. He wants to do it according to the way the Vasikan did, those who really chase after and love mitzvahs. Now, the Gemara speaks out there's a problem, that even though the water can be seen to be, could be considered to be a covering of his nakedness, and therefore his machanecha could be kadosh, his place which he occupies could be sanctified in as much as his privates are covered by the water itself. Since the water is transparent, he would still have the problem of his libo ruas erva, his heart being able to have a direct line of sight, so to speak, to his private parts. And therefore, if the water were transparent, you'd have to sort of kick up mud from the bottom to make the water turbid and make it so that one there would be no direct line of sight between one's heart and one's private parts. The next part of the Mishnah really teaching about another din, the din of that it's improper to say Dvar Mishim B'Kedusha in the presence of rotting organic matter. And therefore it says, Avlo Yizkasa Lobo Maim Harayim, one should not cover himself neither with water that just has a foul odor, that already is improper, Vloba Meha Mishra, and nor with soaking water. Me Mishra is referring to water that was used to ret, R-E-T-T, to ret flax. That is to say, when one takes the flax plant and wants to produce linen fibers from it, in the time of the Mishnah they did it is they would soak that flax for a time in the water till the flax began to rot and the pectin proteins would loosen and they'd be able to take the fibers to make the linen out of the flax plant. That process requires a bit of rotting, R-O-T-T, rotting, going bad, of the plants, and that retting, R-E-T-T-I-N-G, the soaking of the plants, therefore is very malodorous. It stinks terribly. And therefore, the Mishnah here is saying, if you're in the presence of rotting organic matter, which smells terribly, in this case, decaying flax, that it's improper to say the Dvar Mishim B'Kedusha in the presence of that smell. For many years, this Mishnah bothered me as much as Maim Haroim, stinky water, and Mei Mishra, soaking water, are really two sides of the same coin. They're really just water that has a sort of rancid smell to it, and therefore I always wondered what the difference is. My teacher, Rav Daniel Spetner, told me a great chiddush, which I think is true, which is that Mei Mishra, soaking water, although it objectively smells terrible, if a person is in the part of the world where they do soak and produce linen, soak flax to produce linen, so they're used to that smell, and therefore they might say, oh, it doesn't bother me because I'm used to it. Even so, since it's an objectively bad smell, it doesn't matter that you're used to it. One shouldn't say Dvar Mishim B'Kedusha, speak out words of Torah, or the like, in the presence of something that objectively smells. The next line of the Mishnah is actually, according to the Gemara, a new point altogether. The words read, Ad Shiyata L'Sochan Maim, until you pour into it water. The Gemara asks, it can't be referring to pouring some water into the rotting, rancid, smelling Mei Mishra water or Mei Brayim water, the soaking water or just the rotten, smelly water, because adding a bit of water to that would not help anything. And therefore, what we're talking about over here, says the Gemara, is a new point, that one should not recite if his Kriya Shema or any Dvar Mishim B'Kedusha, if he's standing in close proximity to a puddle of urine, human urine. And therefore, the din here saying is the urine remains rabbinically a source of non-kadusha, and one who's in its presence doesn't have a kadosh machne, a sanctified place, until he pours a ravias of water inside that puddle. And actually, the din is for each time that someone else has urinated in that puddle, as for argument's sake, say three people urinated in that corner, so there's now a large puddle of urine. One would have to pour three reviuses, the amount of water in a kiddush cup is a revius, so three reviuses of water to annul the status of that urine midrabanan. V'kama yarchik mehem u'minatsoa. The Mishnah then asks, well, how far does one have to distance himself from a puddle of urine or from human excrement? Right. The Mishnah answers, arba amos, four amos, about 7 feet. There is a machlokas in the Gemara if we're talking about arba amos, four amos from the excrement itself, or if we're talking about from where the smell of the excrement ends. It's machlokas, Rav Huna, Rav Chista. The Rambam paskins like Rav Huna, that it's four amos from the excrement itself. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Chista, and this is the Din LaHalacha, it has to be four amos from where the smell of the excrement ends. It could be quite far away from the excrement altogether. And the bartender speaks out, of course, that if the excrement is still in one's line of sight, meaning it's directly in front of him, it wouldn't matter how far away it is from him. It's not a matter of the smell. It's actually beholding in one's eyes the human excrement that makes it improper, and therefore he'd have to be both at least four almost away from the where the smell ends, and also not directly looking at the fecal matter or the urine if he's going to say Kriya Shema or the Davar Shiva Kedusha.